October 30, 2021, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show, happy Saturday, last Saturday, October. Start off the show with interlude number two of Love Supreme, live in Seattle, John Coltrane, the Joe Brazil tape. Joe Brazil actually played flute on the Ohm record. And we had Night Raids with Minimax 30K, and courtesy of Steve Bono. In fact, that last time I saw you two together, I was talking at the pad you both shared in Philadelphia.
That's right.
That was welcome aboard.
That was a great night.
Okay, some whiskey was drank.
That's true. I think I remember the phrase, if it's brown, drink it down.
It's going down.
It's going down.
I'm curious about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest recollection memory regarding music day.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. My dad had music around all the time, so the house was full of music. He was a rockhead, so I early memories, Beatles, Kinks, Who, you know, some Dylan, some Young. I remember some kids' music he used to play for me, some Fred Penner. I don't know if you're familiar with that guy, but he had some strangely sinister, cool songs. The Cat Came Back, Ghost Riders in the Sky. So that was all like early childhood stuff. But I remember music around from the earliest age. Yeah.
Was more a listener, not a player.
He also played. Yeah, no, he had a guitar around. He had played out in clubs and bars. I don't think he was doing that when I was young, but he had done that before I was born.
When you said rockhead, I was thinking of, you know, that cat that worked with Barney and Fred, the fucking quarry. Okay, so there was, in the pad you grew up in there was acoustic guitar?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you jump on it?
I did, yeah. I remember my dad showing me a couple things early on, elementary school, and then just messing around with it, too.
Okay, was that the only instrument in the pad?
For a while, yeah.
Okay, what about the first record you bought with your own money?
Right. So I was thinking about that. I remember taping stuff off the radio in the early days.
With your own money, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so I'm curious.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I'm thinking, I used to get the maxi singles with the cardboard sleeves at the Fred Meyer. I was growing up in Seattle at that particular time. And I remember picking those out for some cool covers, after taping stuff. And I think I kind of graduated up.
Can you remember the first one where you laid out your own fucking De Niro?
I think it was Smashing Pumpkins' Gish. And I think the Siamese Dream was out, but I ain't interested.
Look, what was the first? I'm interested that you got music and spent your own money, but not in that man. What about first gig you saw, Dan?
Yeah, I think the first time I really saw people playing live rock and roll was at a birthday party in a backyard in middle school.
Did you ever see your pop play work those clubs you were talking about?
No, I never saw him play out. He played around the house, you know.
I know. But you were saying stuff like he played clubs, and so maybe that was before you were born.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And so let me ask you about school, marching band, the choir, shit like that.
So in elementary school, my elementary school did have a music program, and I played trumpet in it for a couple years. So that was cool. Got a little, I learned how to read a little music. Not that I ended up using it that much, but.
You use everything somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Did you pick the trumpet, or was it chosen for you?
You know, yeah, it's weird. I was thinking about that, and it's like, it was kind of some like Harry Potter picking the house thing where there was a guy, he was the band guy, and then there was the orchestra guy. And they kind of looked like those things. Like the band guy was kind of like reddish, rosy cheek little guy, and the orchestra guy was tall, bearded, and they would do a little interview with you, and then they would pick for you. And they gave me the trumpet, which I questioned it, but I enjoyed it.
But you didn't stick with it.
I didn't. Well, I moved. I moved away, and where I moved, I didn't have a music program in the middle school.
Well, what about the homeschooling music program with your father's acoustic?
That's what I did. I went back to the guitar there, and
junior high, did you get, or grade school, or maybe even high school, not after graduating, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the garage band, basement band. Did you have something like that with your buddies?
So I had some buddies I played music with, but we never really locked down drummers and bassist were, you know, I had a bunch of guitarists. We would mess around in middle school, you know, or early on in high school. You know, drummers and bassists were a rarity for me back then.
And you mean by messing around, like what? Like, hey, I learned this song off this record, or hey, I wrote this song, or what was it like?
I think it was a little bit of both, and it was, you know, I think throughout my life, really, I've gotten lucky where I try to learn somebody's song, and I don't really nail it, and I end up coming up with something different, you know? And I feel like that's kind of always been a mode that I've fallen into, and with collaborators as well.
Kind of influence, but you're still your own man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Probably good way
to go. And I never had the technical prowess to really, like, just like play something note for note after I heard it. So on my way to figuring something out, I would, you know, get distracted.
Yeah, but maybe
something.
That's good. So you're not a fucking Xerox machine.
Sure.
Right? Then we already got Xerox machines. We don't need a damn fucking pretendies one. Yeah, you know, and another thing too, getting parts from people to build creation of expression, you can still be very original. For example, I've used this before, but the novel, right? You can not invent one word. Use words that everybody else uses and still have a very original fucking novel.
Right.
So that's why I say you don't have to constantly invent. You can use other people's inventions for your own invention, you know, with the parts. So that's why I ask those things. It's a weird mix. I don't know where the border is, and probably every person's got their own fucking weird mixture, right? Old chemistry, the way you got your own trip going, and then you're influenced by outside, and mm-hmm. they inform each other, right? John Coltrane's always talking about listening to other guys, but you could totally practice and had his own thing going, but still open enough mind, you know? I
sure.
did this thing where he got done recording Ascension, and he calls up Albert Eiler. Can you imagine getting a phone call from John Coltrane? And he says, hey, I just made a recording, and I sounded like you. But you know what Albert Eiler said back? He said, man, you didn't sound like me. You sounded like you. And what you were doing was crying out for spiritual unity.
Love that.
Actually, for Albert Eiler to be that strong. But I think John Coltrane was like that. He was humble enough and stuff, but that's why I'm always asking these kind of questions, because to be totally original is kind of bizarre. I don't know if that exists, because we're part of a culture, and you know. But then on the other hand, the culture depends on our inventions or our reinterpretations, rebranding, purposing, whatever shit that we absorbed or reacted against.
Or, sure,
you know, all that, right?
Right, and then I feel like sometimes there's sort of a pendulum between where something might be kind of wild and eclectic and like totally new, and there's innovation there clearly, but then also sometimes there's subtle innovations within the forms and, you know, the more orthodox genres, you know, that you can still record like a garage rock track in 2021 that immediately grabs you know, using those same three chords and the
genre. You said that word that's almost as bad as the N-word normal for what? I mean, I understand it's a way, well, it's a shortcut for marketing for some lazy motherfuckers, but for other people, it's a way of keeping things kind of organized,
mm-hmm.
right, so you know where everything sits, but then, yeah, they turn into fucking Berlin Walls and gulags and Dachau. You
know? Orthodoxy.
Yeah, humans do this, right? Humans do this. I mean, I know why you were using that stuff, because you were trying to say, you know, informing makes the forms, is the process mm-hmm. of the form, is the process of the evolution. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. the de-evolution, right? The things falling apart.
Devo.
Well, also I was thinking Husker Du, everything falls apart.
Yeah.
But Devo too, of course. Yeah. It's in the fucking band name. Look, you gave me this, you know, you got a lot of that rage you gave me, and I'm going to play a feudal reducer.
We'll be right back.
Smoked them if you got them. Hurt them if you lost them.
Thank you. Trust if I have my way, my pedestrian eye, and they wouldn't advertise either. Any good news about bad habits? Bad habits. 'Cause there's no future, no future. And England's dreaming. England's dreaming. England's dreaming. England's dreaming. Once I had community, now I may do it. Social anxiety, a sickness of missed opportunity. Would you look at your head? Would you look at your look? Did you know the camera was there? It's just years ago now. Just collections of days. It's the poised pixels. It's that old joy. Frightened nightcaps and no noise. It's your body that'll really do you in. On silent mornings, you've sung the loneliest hymn, and you're loneliest, grieving, that you wish you could shout. You'll never love like this again. Times we were in love, will be times we were in love. Thank you.
people show that chunk of music started off with Night Raids doing Fuel Reducer, then with SLWCC White Smoke, Wet Cigarette out of Canada, Eventual 10. K from her new album, Kira, Unsolicited Advice. If Bawana, now my goal is out of Chester, New York, with A and then four asterisks, so I don't know what cuss word is. Maybe that's Al's a subtle man. Okay, he's a subtle man. Neil Turpin, great drummer man out of Leeds. First out of Solanke and then Bill's Pump, and then he made a solo record. And he plays everything. Drummers are musicians, people. I had one on yesterday, Brian McCumber, and incredible cat. Sam Cunnin after that in the picture. Last Gasp from Only Now featuring Rajiv Karmakar. Excuse me. I don't mean to destroy the foreign languages. I'm just inept. I'm trying to get better. And then finally, Night Raids with the Surf Report. And you can see people are bookended both Brother Dan's take on medieval social organization. But he's got more layers to fucking lay on you, right?
Right. Sure. We used to have the sharpen your pitchforks was on the back of our t-shirts. Kind of an ongoing theme we had.
1381 or something, there's a peasant revolt in England, and the leader was Tyler Watt, but only one T.
Okay.
Why do you fucking need No, it was Watt Tyler. I got it backwards. Why do you need two T's anyway, right? I think Watt was short for Walter in the old days, so it was a first name. It wasn't a family name. But I'm interested. So this was jamming around without a drummer. And
I think
we did a lot of that, right? Just bass and guitar, lots, till we found
before
Georgie.
You guys.
Well, we had his brother Joe for a little bit, and then we found Georgie, and then Georgie we tried to work with this welder, and after two gigs, he thought punk was too weird, so we got Georgie back. And but a lot of times, especially getting the first Minutemen songs together, the first batch was totally just guitar and bass. In fact, Joe Biza was living underneath. Didn't know us that well. We'd see him at the gigs and shit. Well, there was only 100 people you see every week, you know, same faces. But he ended up moving in. And of course, we didn't want to wake people up with amplifiers, so we played really soft. But to keep time, we're stomping. And he thought we were fucking dancing up there for 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. He didn't know we were trying to get the first batch together. So I can totally relate with you, Brother Dan, about jamming without a drummer because... yeah, you can't find a drummer man, or maybe the situation. You can't set up, you know what I mean, apartment. Angie Boone never had that's why the practice pad, I've had mine 36 years now. It's such a key thing.
If you don't have you had the same spot.
You buttloads. So tell me how your music thing evolves with this trip.
Cool, yeah. So I think I would play stuff. Oh, so in terms of playing without a drummer, also my dad had a four track. He had a Tascam cassette.
Okay.
You know, so I started getting into that, and also after school, you know, I think I took some guitar lessons early on, and the guy who was teaching me, he was great. His name was Scott, and he was a shredder. You know, he was surfing with the aliens all the time, and
Joe Satriani.
Yeah, and I'd be bringing him in, like, some pretty primitive, you know, rock stuff, and he'd be like, all right, you know, I'll show you this. Kept up with that for a little while, but then later on, I would just play records down in the basement, records or CDs, both, you know, and just play them real loud and play along with them with the guitar. And I think it wasn't until I was doing that I really started to get into playing the guitar, because I think when I was kind of trying to play a song without a drummer, you know, without a band behind me, just myself on a guitar, it was cool, but it didn't click, it didn't excite me until I started playing along with the music loud, and, you know, then I started to learn some basic, silly, you know, scales for solos or whatever, and, you know, put on my dad's Crazy Horse, you know, Neil Young and Crazy Horse records and just shred for an hour, you know,
so
and that
focus,
was...
Focus, you wanted to make... Dan Liptock Recordings, or did you want to look for a band, or did you want to go join someone else's band?
I think all of the above, and then I did start playing in bands a little later on, you know, and some of and different kinds of bands, even then too. So it would be like, you know, some bands playing punk covers and playing parties, and then also the band's just playing, you know, noise, you know. I mean, at that point, you know, that's when I was finding that stuff, you know, get your, turn your amp real loud and set up some pedals. And, you know, pretty early on, I got a looping pedal, and that was a whole brand new world of making sound too. So kind of a varied experience between trying to play actual songs, including playing other people's songs, playing some original songs, and then just playing vibes, you know, playing off each other with noise without a plan, you know.
What about using the four track as a fucking instrument itself?
Yeah, overdubbing. Yeah, and then that got easier as technology got easier. I mean, it doesn't get much easier than the four track cassette, and it still sounds so great. But yeah, that's always been, you know, overdubbing some guitars on top of each other. I love that sound. And, you know, somewhere along the way, I found Skullflower and, you know, some other acts that did that, you know, and I was like, what? These guys do this. Like, you know, they put records out where they're just doing this. Like, yeah.
What was the first club I played in Philly? Eastside Club. That was probably right by your time, right? But I remember the stuff on, like, Revival and Pontiac. On South Street, and
So I moved to Philly a little later. I was in Toledo, Ohio, in middle school and high school.
Frankie's.
Yeah, Frankie's, totally. I used to go to the main event on the east side in Toledo. I don't know how I was going there when.
Why I'm asking you this is about when you saw these bands at the clubs. Did you want to get in on that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so
what'd
you do about it?
Yeah, started doing it myself and making the music and getting people to pick up. You know, I was saying before, it used to be hard to find a drummer. So, you know, a band I had later on in Philly, I didn't have a drummer, and I just had a buddy who, you know, was open to learning drums. So get him to play, and that, you know, don't have a drummer, make a drummer.
Really? So you're like, you trained a drummer just out of
necessity? I didn't make him.
The situation the guy to provide the beats, right?
Yeah.
So you got a drum set together and just fucking learned by doing?
Yeah, living, you know, being around other musicians and bands.
Now, did this band, did you guys end up doing gigs?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that was Deep Possum.
Oh, Deep Possum. Okay. So this is your first fucking unit, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically the first real one after years of playing one-offs and doing little things. I had one band earlier than that was the punk cover one. They were called the Weather Pussies, actually.
Okay.
But then Deep Possum was definitely.
Do you remember the first Deep Possum gig?
Ooh, yeah, I do actually. It was at a record store on 40th Street in West Philadelphia. Marvelous Records, and there were like 12 people in that band over the years, and I remember that first show I think had a number of people who might not have played any other shows.
but did the drummer man stay with you?
Oh yeah, in fact I still play with him here out in L.A. He's out here now, so yeah.
Wow, that's a trip. So do you remember the first song you wrote for Deep Possum?
I think it was all coming out of jams, and I remember one that I loved that I didn't name. The singer named it. It was called Blister on Your Tongue, and that one. I remember after we recorded that, I was like, hey, that's a killer one. I like that.
Is that a little pun rock?
Oh, I guess so. Right? I never even thought of it. Blister on the Sun. Oh my God! This
you know,
was like
you 50. Know, Gordon told me, man. Charlie said something. About the same thing, too, the Pixie singer. Like, how the Pixies and with Gordon, and especially the first batch, it's it's the gift that keeps giving. <That's>, Gordon told me those songs he wrote when he was 16, he's still making a living on. And actually, they're more successful than any songs he wrote after.
Wow, that's funny.
It's the reality on the dealio, though.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the way things work out. Like you said, like the songs just came out of jams. Maybe that's how it is, you know. With some people, you know, they're like rushes and comes. You know, who's the poet man? Arthur Rimbaud, right? He only does that shit for 2 or 3 years. Then he starts running guns. There's other guys like Elvin Jones, you know, he's got an oxygen tank. He's playing to the last breath, right? So the, I think there's different ways of doing a band or doing music. And
absolutely.
A blister on your tongue. That'd go wild. Yeah.
You know?
The trippy Ryan Ritchie, he runs the bass band. He played one of these acoustic, not stand up, right? It's a kind of acoustic guitar bass. And he runs this modern Museum of Modern Art in Tasmania that's mostly underground. I mean, physically, yeah.
Right, in Tasmania.
Yeah, it's a trip, yeah.
Wow.
In fact, this cat, a musician Ben Salty, has had a residency there for the last 6 months, and he's been doing buttloads of songs, and I've been playing them on the show. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 30, 2021, Dish Wapito Show. Special guest, Dan Liptak. Hold tight for hour two. October 30, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wapito Show. Pivo Show. Start off the second hour. Some more Night Raids. Hoagie Mouth. Now, hoagies, people, is what the East Coasters call subs.
Yep.
But they're called hoagies here, too, sometimes. But they're long sandwiches stuff, lots of good stuff.
Long sandwiches,
and
yeah.
Yeah, long sandwiches. And usually some kind of Italian, right? Oil and vinegar dressing, and they're good, man. They're really good. Okay, A is for arterial from My Daddy Ate My Eyes. The Nitwis, the Panache, the Sarcoplasmatic Venoclobs from James Quinn Harper. Rubber Hose, I know these fucking titles or something else. Rubber Hose Cement. They're also part of the Brutal Sound Effects crew out of East Bay. Night Rage. Motor Face. So, you didn't give me any recordings of Deep Possum, but you did give me a lot of Night Rage. So, how long does Deep Possum last?
Deep Possum has been around on and off for like 10 years, probably. And then there's overlap with other projects.
Did you guys end up recording?
What was that?
Did you end up recording? Because you didn't flow me any.
We did, actually. We did. I neglected that. I should have sent you some Possum. We did do a little bit of recording. We put some stuff out, cassette-wise, self-release kind of stuff. And we played out a bunch with some great bands in the Philly area. And so at that time, I'm living in that house that you stayed at in West Philly.
Sure.
And it's a revolving door of awesome musicians coming through our basement is a full-time rehearsal space. So,
what happened with the Deep Possum? When does Night Raids make the scene?
So they overlap a little bit, and I don't think Deep Possum is gone. I think there's some Deep Possum on the way, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe some archive stuff and maybe even some new stuff.
You gotta make sure you get it to me so I can play on the show, please.
Excellent. Yeah, I will. But then Night Raids comes into play somewhere along. There's a few other projects, and Night Raids is just a two-piece. And Night Raids is me and Julius Massery, who is a phenomenal drummer who you may come across in other combos. He's played with Marshall Allen, and he plays with some heavy jazz heads.
By the way, I should tell the listeners, Marshall Allen is still doing gigs. This is a man in the 90s, okay? I don't want to hear anybody fucking whining or bellyaching. His brother,
right.
He's like doing in the van, right? Doing, he's balls out.
Yeah, absolutely. So Julius and I lived in this house. I had been living in there. Julius moved in, and he's practicing all the time. He's an incredible drummer. He's playing all the time in the basement. He's playing wild stuff. It sounds like Square Pusher. He's got his own solo things. He's playing with different jazz combos.
Square Pusher is a bass man. You know who turned me on to him was the Flea. It's Flea's favorite bass man.
Really?
That's
cool. Good connect.
Told me. But, Stevie Bono, he's a drummer fan now. In fact, he's getting into it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get together with Julius.
Yep.
And so they don't
like
share, me. Both projects don't share members. They're two distinct trips.
Yeah, okay. just me in the two of them. Julius is just in Night Raids.
And
yeah.
You said that Deep Possum's had a bunch of dudes, right?
Yeah, yeah, but mostly homie Matt Griffin was the drummer in that. Yeah.
Okay. So, all these tunes I've been playing from Night Raids, this is from a new Night Raid album, or is it the first album?
It's a new one. It's not the first one. I guess the one before was a 7-inch, and then the first cassette release is kind of like a demo, so it could be kind of in some ways, But yeah, so these are all rippers. Some of these songs are from the earlier stages of the band, for sure. And we recorded this kind of in a hurry before I was moving to LA.
Okay.
And it was like sort of right before the pandemic hit, and it was cold. It was Philly winter. We were out at our rehearsal space.
It can be a little brutal. It's right by the water, people. In fact, in the old days, Philly was a Navy town. Believe it or not, there's a big fucking mothball fleet there still. But
Navy Yards, yeah.
Yeah, Toot Philadelphia. Well, John Coltrane, right? He gets his house with the GI Bill there by the zoo on 33rd Street.
But yep, I used to be a teacher. I used to teach near there.
Okay, well, you know how I stumbled onto it real easy because playing North Star Bar.
Oh yeah,
right there.
I saw you at North Star at least.
I mean, but that was like your stumbling distance, right?
So, yeah, totally. That was a cool place with that weird ceiling. Deep Possum.
You know, also, I don't know if you ever sat at the bar and looked down.
Mm.
There's a trough.
Oh, did it have the old urinal, the trough?
The trough, yeah. So you didn't have to get up. You could drink and piss and just keep sitting there. I don't think it was active, but in the old days, the first time I saw that was Tijuana and stuff.
Still fully operational.
Well, here's another proj. Really? Because it kind of have an odor. I guess if you brought you enough, it don't matter. Here's another prod you gave me. Narthex. Looking Glass, I want to play.
Thank you.
Show. Started off that chunk of music with Dan Liptock Proj, Narthex, tune called Looking Glass, then Live 2-15-15 at Salt Lake. Salt Lake people's this cake you put in a bob wire so the cows, you know, can get their fucking sodium, right, and looking at it. Okay. Oakland, California, Head Boggle, great band, or band man. Music man. I don't want to believe in anything. Mike Adams and his Honest Weight. That's got Thor Harris on drums. And Narthex, Mineral Kingdom. Hip us to Narthex, Brother Dan.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Narthex is the solo stuff. Narthex is just me playing with recordings. And it's been kind of going along throughout all the other stuff, too.
Was it before Deep Possum?
I mean, sort of, yeah, because that's one of the ways I started out. I used to call it Lazy Bones, I guess, was the project, but it was the same. It was me, and it was overdubs. And that,
the four-track, your pop's four-track.
Yeah, and then eventually I switched the name to Narthex maybe 5 years, 6 years ago or something. I've done just a handful of gigs solo, but sometimes doing a gig out, but different instrumentation, you know, could be sometimes it's guitar, electric guitar overdubs with a lot of effects. Sometimes it's acoustic. Sometimes, that last one that's I've been getting into more just some synthesizer stuff, some electronic stuff entirely. So that's kind of just.
You're saying it's not performance so much, but do you make releases?
Yeah. Not big releases, but yeah, but that electronic track is out. And I think I put some of the other stuff out back in the day. I have done a couple. I did one electronic gig live, and I've done a few of the looping solo gigs live.
You were talking about going to Philly noise gigs and it being an influence on you.
Absolutely. I love that. It was a great, I think the certain period of time, it was especially, prevalent and anything goes and basement shows. And that was really where I cut my teeth on it. I'd been into music for a long time before living in West Philly and I'd played music and played gigs before I lived in West Philly. But I think, being in West Philly during that time was like, being surrounded by it, being surrounded by DIY shows everywhere and people just letting their freak flags fly and different,
What about this? It seems, quote, noise, unquote, because you could, say everything was noise or not noise.
Sure, yeah.
But I kind of understand the context. It seems like it's more, less ensemble and less solitary, and maybe the more rhythm, rock and roll, more ensemble.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? You don't see a lot of, there's Einstein, there's a noise band, but you don't really see multi-membered, no quote noise band so much. I guess Throbbing Gristle had four people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, there was, that term, like you were saying earlier, the way that terms, the G word, et cetera, right. The way you can put
semantics.
Doesn't mean much, right? Right. Like it's all spiritual unity to go back to Isla, right?
Or real fucking hogwash like Democratic People, Republic of Korea. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but if you don't practice it, right? Kind of, maybe. But also context. Yeah. Context is really important. That's why we like titles of songs. We can have fucking buttloads of fun with it, right?
Absolutely, man. What does that sound like to you? What idea does that bring to mind? And how can that add to your experience of hearing it out,
Especially instrumental music, because that's the only spiel you got.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Right at the end of the second hour, October 30, 2021, Dish Wap Peter's a special guest, Dan Liptock. Hold tight for hour three. October 30, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Sometimes spring.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour. Night Raids. Firm Handshake. Petrified Max. He's got Vitas from the last Trotsky Ice Pick. The Bat Whispers. I.D. Do Femella. Crystalline. Worst band name ever. Babes New York City. I just can't handle that name. But the band's got some cute songs. April in Paris in February. Yeah, it's more pun rock. No, not really. No puns. It's just contrary, right? Ray Shin in The Passage. And finally, Dystopioid Dependency, Night Raids. Okay. So tell me the process. Is it like jams? Like, because you said that the tunes, Deep Possum came out of jams. Is it the same with Night Raids?
Yeah, Night Raids, same thing. Except Night Raids, there's a sort of added element of kind of like a heavier work ethic or something. Not that Deep Possum didn't, but like for Julius and I, like rehearsals became, you know, clockwork. This is what we do these days of the week. It was you know, excellent to get off of work and go shred for a few hours. And so we were pretty regimented with our rehearsal schedule, and we would just, you know, spend basically the first hour just ripping and then try to pull things from that or work on things that we had pulled from earlier rehearsal recordings. But yeah, everything coming out of jams still.
Is Julius still over there or is he here now?
Yeah, he's still over there. Yeah.
So are you guys going to trade files?
Yeah, we're going to keep going.
Okay, keep going. Because he seems like a fucking driven cat. Before you knew him, before you knew him, what was he doing music-wise? Just drumming fucking brains out?
he was in tons. He was in tons of groups. He was in Electric Cintra, Many Arms, and at the same time as playing jazz gigs and percussion gigs. And
so he's not like you guys looking for a drummer. He's a drummer man that people are looking for him.
Absolutely.
And did he create his own situations also?
Yeah, no, he creates his own situation. Both, I think. Okay. You know, he's both trained and then he's trained himself on other instruments. He's a multi-instrumentalist.
Oh, he's more than drums.
Yeah, I mean, he's a drummer first and foremost, but he's got a new solo album. That actually, it's just coming out now. It's called Mephisto Halabi.
Fuck, I'd love to hear it. Can you get him to flow it to me?
I will, absolutely. Because
he's drumming on this fucking Night Raids is fucking bitching.
Right.
So can I ask you this about him? In your life, you think it was a sea change? I mean, nothing against the Deep Possum guys, but...
It's just such a different mode. And
like the thing you said about discipline, and we're going to prac now, and you know, we're taking this seriously. I'm not trying to say, you know, no respect for the other guys, but just kind of a different sitch.
Different sitch, and more about, like, yeah, just kind of like playing as hard as possible, you know? I think, you know, Deep Possum, we were into that flipper, you know, not that that's not a way of playing hard.
That's
but, like,
trippy you mentioned them, because... The drummer man, Steve, just asked for Missing Men to open up for two Flipper gigs in December.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, Flipper was a trip for its time for the scene because, you know, we were coming out of the 70s punk and the young guys didn't understand that punk could be anything. So by them playing slower, everybody thought it was way different.
Right. I love that. Flipper is fundamental for me, for sure.
Ah, that's trippy you brought them up. They're beautiful guys. I got to help them with the tour a couple of years ago. And I've always loved their music. A lot of it's built on bass lines.
Man, you've really gotten into some amazing things, you know, aside from your own work. I remember I saw you at that Stooges gig in Detroit.
Well, I did 125 months with them.
The first one.
No, but I did 125 months with them. And yeah, actually, it wasn't the first one because we had to come back because there was a power failure.
I know. I went to I tried to go
now,
the first time.
Now, the Sonic Youth got to play the first one.
I remember driving back to Toledo because
you know, it was more than there. It was the whole fucking Northeast was blacked out. It was a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know.
Look, you gave me this music, some more Night Raids. Spiral Extinction number 6. Let's listen. Ego Show. Last chunk of music for this edition. Night Raid, Spiral Extinction number 6. So I'm assuming, which is dangerous, right? My pop said
that's
the most special spelling of a word in the universe, right? It was an accident, boy. There was, what, 5 previous spiral extinctions?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep, we're on the 6th one.
Yeah. Idiot Watt. You should have. Okay. I don't want to go to Porky's Jerome Brierton and Damon Smith duo at Trinosophis, as you call him, on his endless world tour. Him and his wife sold the van, so now they're doing it by train. Night Raids, finally, with Proxy War. Proxy War. Man, we've had a lot of those. We can't continue. So much proxy shit. All this fucking, some behaviors I just see, especially the wannabe butch thing. It's such a proxy war. And they're like in character fucking thing. We're not even talking countries or towns. Yeah, it's a trip. So, music-wise, now you told me Night Raiser's working up some new material, bi-coastal kind of thing, and then the Old Possum is maybe reviving old stuff. Like they're all back there too, right? None of them are SoCal.
Well, we're gonna have a couple of Possum guys. Wow. Getting them out here
Full Philly posse move. You know, this happened with the Tortoise guys from Chicago, right? They all moved. Jeff Parker and.
Right, right.
John Herndon.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
David Gow. Speaking of Flipper, David Gow. We'll try to get a few more. There's 3 of us with Steven, yeah.
Okay. And do you have some place on the internet that people want to check out Dan Lip Talk Music?
Not under my own name, but we like Bandcamp on Night Raids. We definitely
okay,
stay
so
active.
Okay, so there's a Bandcamp, nightraids.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we like that service.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, no, I think the Bandcamp people are the best people on the internet to bands, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is because of people moving around and stuff, you might be able to play with real Deep Possum people. Because I was going to ask if you were going to recruit some SoCal people.
We got new stuff we're working on, yeah, that like maybe an unnamed project.
For sure. Okay.
Because, I got here and the pandemic was going on and it was a little quiet and I knew a couple people, but,
right.
You know, obviously it's still going on, but I got a rehearsal space now and, you know, starting to make projects happen. So.
Yeah. Like Mr. Wells learned us, no wine before it's time.
Yeah.
Right, and there's nothing like having a prac space. And that's probably what you miss about that pattern that I conked at, where you could go in the cellar and get up with Julius and just fucking beat the shit out of some music.
It was so good having it in the house, you know. And I've had some great rehearsals. We had some great rehearsal spaces in Philly afterwards, too. But having it in your basement is just, yeah, it's a special, awesome thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
totally.
Man, what has music taught you?
Was it taught me?
Yeah. Do you think it has? Or has it just been a side of you that's always been?
I mean, it's really my main thing, man. Like, not just the playing, but the listening, you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
The playing is something, of course, I want to participate in it as well. But, you know, there isn't an hour that goes by where I'm not thinking about something or listening to it. It's something that has to do with rock and roll, you know? It's just... I can't see it any other way.
Well, you know, that was my experience going from arena rock and finding about the movement and clubs. It seemed like people were taking turns. Now it's your turn to play. Now it's your turn to play. That wasn't like arena rock.
Right.
We were never going to get our chance to play. You know, but, you know, all of a sudden, Pat Smear standing next to you, you know, and you just saw him. That was such a trip. It was so contagious, making you want to get involved.
And absolutely.
Like you said, with that noise scene and stuff, I can totally relate with you, Brother Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, music was something that I did to be with D-Boom, but then when we saw there was a scene where people took turns playing for each other.
I don't want to blow up your scene too much, but I mean, you know, seeing. You know, listening to the Minutemen, knowing your, like that jamming in Econo, and like, you know, that was huge for me. You know, the bands like you and like Dead Moon and these other bands that just lived it in a way that like, you know, was almost like, not to use a dirty term, it was almost religious, you know, or something for me that like, you know, made sense to me in a way that, you know, still does.
But, you know, if we handed down to you, believe me, stuff was handed down to us too, you know. So maybe it's, we're all links in this kind of chain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're going to be handing down stuff, and maybe you are already without even knowing it. That's the trip about expression and connecting humans without a fascist way, you know.
hopefully.
Yeah, so that was very kind of you and very, yeah, very, very beautiful. Thank you so much. I take it to heart. It's one reason why I do this show. I think today's the 12th show in a row I've done. But I just feel it's my dad. I want to pay back to the movement because us all getting to hear each other and then let our freak flags fly, like you were saying. Beautiful. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Stay curious, man. Trying to keep your ear to the ground is something I learned, you know, try to do too. That, you know, I think it's something that you demonstrate, you know, and others, you know.
Well, that's one good thing about Brother Stevie giving you these guests and these connects. It opens up the horizon. You ain't heard everything.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Gotta tell yourself that, and bringing on new people reminds you that. Thank you so much for coming on. Come back on when you guys get some new music, please. People, it's been the October 30, 2021 edition. What people, just keep your powder dry.